The Elder John gives us a brief insight of the good and bad going on in a local church in the first century. Even though it is short in words, 3 John gives us just enough direction to implement as a church today.
Third to last book in the Bible, 3 John. We'll jump there in a second, a couple seconds. First one, explain this local church here on Merritt Island, connected with another campus in Cocoa. The question I want to ask is, what do we want to be known for? There's people coming and going through our area every day, and I'll share some statistics about that in a bit. But the question this morning is, what kind of church do we want to be known as? Like, when people come and go, what would they report when they go back to their places? In 3 John, we see that John, an apostle of Jesus, he's getting up in age, and so they refer to him as the elder. And if you want to think of this, because it's a letter from John to a specific person, there's a good chance that he then shared it with his local congregation, this guy named Gaius. And as he's sharing it, the letter, it calls somebody out, and it takes two verses. There's only 15 verses in the whole letter, but it takes two verses to call somebody out who we will refer to him as the weasel. Okay, the reality is, in life, you put a human being in it, there's going to be weasels. Eventually, there's going to be weasels. And it didn't take long before weasels started to move into the church. Thanks for laughing. But John only takes two verses out of there. So that kind of shows us, don't take too much time for the weasels in the church. Okay? There's a time where people, they will not act godly, but then they will do things that are so wrong that there needs to be discipline. But then John jumps back into some really encouraging words. So we will talk about the weasel for just a brief moment. But the reality is, if you focus too much on the weasels will take over. That's just how it is. So John starts out, and if instead of me ranting, would you read it with me? If you'd follow along, we'll start in verse 1, because that's a good place to start. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. Sometimes we get so focused that everything is spiritual, that everything needs to be talking about our spiritual lives. But here, an apostle of Jesus, he focuses also on the person's well-being, their physical health. So take note of that. Take note of that. Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. So this Gaius guy, he's getting a thumbs up. He's saying, I've been hearing good report about you, Mr. Gaius. Then verse 4, I want us to riff a little bit about verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. How many grandparents in here? Great, great. Some of y'all's story is you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. Some of y'all's story is you've known about him, but you're getting way more serious in your older years. And I would say a part of that is because we realize we only have so much time here on earth. And so we start to think of eternal things more and more and more. Here's John. John's up in his, he's called the elder. He's up in his years. And he says the greatest joy that he has is not watching his grandchildren and his children score touchdowns. It's not them dancing at the pageant. But, go back, he's concerned about people's health. So he's not totally throwing out all those activities. You understand what I'm trying to say here? He says, my greatest joy is to hear that you're walking in the truth. That's what puts a smile on a grandparent's face. But not just in their face, but in their heart. Because a grandparent, an elder, a father, They start looking at life differently whenever there's people below them. And so here's John writing, and he's saying, my greatest joy is when I see you walking in the truth. Next verse. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like this. We should support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I want to let you know that we live in a very unique place, that people are moving in constantly. You don't have to raise your hand if you'd like to. Any people who are born and raised Floridians, this is your stomping ground. We want to take a moment for you. Unite. There's something special about that right now because people want to live where you live. And we could take that a couple places. If I were to say 524, have you seen the skyscrapers going up and all the apartment buildings? Now, sometimes inside of ourselves, we go, ooh, yeah, all those people moving down here. Okay, hold on. Majority of us are implants already, okay? Okay. However, we don't need to see that as a negative. Now, I like land just as much as the next guy. And people say, well, they're not making any more of it. I get it. But when we gave our lives to Jesus, let me put it another way, when we became saved sinners, we made an allegiance to the Lord, and we made an allegiance to doing the King's work. And so when we see people moving down here, now back in 2021, a study was done that 1,200 people on the daily are moving to Florida, that's domestically and internationally. That's dropped to about 800 people now, every day are moving down here. And a lot are funneling from the New England and also from the Midwest. But just as John says to these people in this letter to Gaius, you guys have strangers coming in, and I want to give you guys a thumbs up. You guys are doing a great job of hospitality. You need to build them up and send them out. There's one local church here in Brevard. And sometimes, okay, so when I use the word local church, I'm talking about a campus, like this place where we are meeting right now. But there's also a local church up in Mims, or there's a local church down in Melbourne, or do you understand? There's multiple local churches. But in the overarching theme, we are the church. It's a movement that will never be stopped. It's Jesus's bride. Sometimes we look at it as a whole, but sometimes we look at it more regionally, and then we look at it even on the micro level, local. There's a local church on Cocoa Beach, and they have a very small facility. When you walk into the building, you're automatically in their praise area, and it's small. That church is growing. I mean, it is growing. And the reason why I bring that up is I want to talk about them. They don't have the best music. They don't have, I mean, I could list all the, why would anybody, you know what they're great at? They're great at hospitality. It's incredible what handing somebody a cookie and a coffee can do. Now, that's not to say what we do here is better, worse, or anything. I just want to highlight that on Cocoa Beach, there are Christians that look a lot like what they're doing here in 3 John, practicing hospitality. And so that's why I want to come back into our mindsets of when we see the skyscrapers going up in our area. People are moving here in droves, and people have all different reasons why. Sometimes it is political, sometimes it is retirement. But for some of us in here, it was because we wanted a restart. There was a change in our life. We wanted to get away. We wanted a fresh start. There are two types of people. Two types of people in the world, sinners and saved sinners. Sinners and saved sinners, two types of people. And those two types of people are moving into our area. We have a great opportunity for those two types of people. For the two types of people, the first one, the sinners, as they move down, as they move from internationally, wherever they're coming from, we don't have to go anywhere. Now, we're going to pray about this. We're going to take 3 minutes to pray what Jesus commanded us to pray. We'll do that at the end. But we have people moving here. That means we have incredible opportunity. You don't have to go far to meet a new sinner or encouragement from a saved sinner. Let's start with the sinner, okay? People are coming here from different walks of life, different colors, different backgrounds, and even different languages. And they're looking for a fresh start. They're looking for opportunity, the American dream. But if you're a saved sinner in here, you have the antidote. You have the answer. You have the king. You have the opportunity to introduce them to the king. That's what we have. And we can do that through hospitality. Or we can grumble. But we gave our lives to Jesus. The things of earth are fading. We think of eternal things. Now, it's nice. Oh, my goodness. Manicure your yard. It looks better that way. It does. Please. But don't let that be the main thing. The main thing in 3 John, man, these people are receiving the strangers and sending them out, sharing the good news. And also, not just to sinners, but to save sinners. What do I mean by this? If I were to ask you, do you know where in the United States is the Bible Belt? Some of you would probably know what I'm talking about. We would probably call that like the Midwest area. But I don't consider that the Bible Belt anymore. And the reason I don't is because I lived there. And as it was referred as the Bible Belt, I believe that has faded, if gone. It used to be in that area, just college after college after college that were raising up people to be Christian servants, as missionaries, as preachers, as teachers in the church. But the doors of those colleges are closing and closing and closing and closing. I mean, even down here in Florida, some of you went to Florida Christian, correct? And then it became Johnson, and then the closing of the doors. Things change. And so when I look at the Midwest, you could find a church on every corner. And that's not just, oh, a denominational church of it's this or this. It's like, oh no, the core beliefs that we believe here, that's what they believe. 14 churches in the little county that I grew up in believed a lot what this local church doctrine believes. And year after year after year, another door closed, another door closed, another church closing its doors. I served up in a youth group in Southern Illinois, and I was teaching and I was sharing about Adam and Eve. You wouldn't believe how many kids didn't even know who Adam and Eve were. I mean, that's about as basic as you can get. You understand what I'm saying? There are people moving down here from that Bible Belt, from that oil belt, from that Midwest. And they come down here, sometimes we refer to them as snowbirds. And they come down here, what kind of church are we going to be? Are we going to be a church that just receives and sees them on their way? Or are we going to step it up a bit? Because it's something when people go back to their villages and they talk about how beautiful the building is or how beautiful the decorations are. And you know what? It's great having a building. It's a big gift. And I'll tell you what, I'm not complaining about the decorations. They're really pretty. But if that's what, when people come here and they go back home and report to their villages up in the different parts of the world, then we're missing it. What do we want them to be teaching? What do we want them to be reporting on? Sinners are becoming saved sinners. man, that place at BCC, it seems like every week they have a baptism. And then, or a video of a baptism, or another baptism, or... That's what we want people. We want the Word of God. Okay, if you went to Acts chapter 2, it's the, what we almost refer to as the beginning of the church. It's when it exploded, I should say. And it says that they dedicated themselves in four things. The four things were the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship of believers that gathered together, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We here at BCC, we have communion every week. You know what that does? That helps the sinner who walks in to go, huh, what is this about? And we repeat it again and again every week. Why? Because here we want to keep the main thing the main thing. So when a sinner comes in, they know what the main thing is. And then when a saved sinner comes in, we have communion every week. Why? So that they don't get comfortable and something besides what the main thing is. This will help. If you'll look at the verse 9, this will help us. This is talking about the weasel of the church. Let's talk about the weasel in the room. Verse 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. I was like, man, what a weasel. Like, I'm not sure exactly what this guy's issue is, but even people showing hospitality, he's shutting them down. Like, man, this guy's got a control issue, right? And I don't know exactly what it all is, but John gives us a sneak peek of what the root is. Look back. Verse 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first. As we grow older, one something that we learn is that the more we focus on ourselves, the more if we focus on ourselves, the more detrimental it is. Every now and then, there's going to be a weasel that pops up in BCC, okay? It happened in the first century church. Don't think that it's not going to happen in 2025, coming in 2026. Every now and then, there's a weasel. And the church leadership, we need them to squash, not the weasel, but whatever the issue is, okay? But he only spends two verses on the weasel. So don't focus too much on the weasel, okay? But focus on what the root issue is. Because we all can struggle with the same root issue. And we can easily become weasels. There's a selfishness inside this guy named Diotrephes. Now, we don't know exactly what his issue is in his selfishness, but it led him so far to not accepting people coming in to the local church. And in fact, the people who are welcoming those people, whether sinners or saved sinners, into the church, he's kicking them out. Like, who does this guy think he is? I just want to pause and say, watch out. Because any one of us who lets selfishness fester, it'll root down deep. And next thing you know, if you don't know who the weasel is in the room, you're probably the weasel. You understand what I'm saying? It can grab us so quick. Okay, enough with weasels. Let's finish this. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. And then he brings up not a weasel, but the opposite. This guy's name is Demetrius. He says, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. Good things are being said about him and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Man, there's somebody who's doing the opposite. There's somebody welcoming people, whether sinners or saved sinners. And he's doing what he can for the cause of Christ. He's not saying things like, oh man, those people moving in, this is starting to look, you understand? Okay? And that's not to pick on anybody, but we all like to have our own little secluded spot where we can be king of our own Ponderosa. But if we're a saved sinner, who's really king? Who's king of your heart? Then who's king of your finances? Then who's king of your estate? No, then who's king of your property? Who's king of... We have incredible opportunity. Incredible opportunity. Listen to what he says at the end here. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, as we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them. And in some of the translations, it says, greet every one of them by name. This John guy, he's done his homework. This man's intentional. He's not just like, oh yeah, the church, the local church. I mean, he knows some people by name. And he wants us to train in that. That what they did in the first century church is they met together for the apostles' teaching. What kind of church do we want to be known for? We want to be known as a church, whether it's sinners or saved sinners, when they come here, we're doing the best we can to break down the scriptures and to understand what it means. What else do we want to do? We want people who fellowship together. Now, this local church right here, confession time. I do not know everyone by name. But that doesn't have to be a bad confession. That's actually a good thing. I'm so glad I don't know everybody in here. I'm so glad I don't know everybody. I want to know everybody's name because that feels good, correct? But that means that the church is growing. That means not one minister has to be involved in everybody's lives. That's the great system of having small groups. I understand that. But they met together so they could have things in common. You and I need to have a few people in here that we can rely on. We need a few people in here that we do know each other by name. Because I don't just need to rely on you, but I need you to call me out. But it needs to be somebody. Okay. But then they also met together for the breaking of bread, which we're going to do in a moment. Remembering to keep the main thing the main thing. And then the last thing is prayer. And this is the time I want to take with you. We'll have a moment of prayer, and then that will lead into remembering King Jesus, who died for all sinners. In Matthew chapter 9, some of you, if you have your Bible, let's just go there. Because it gives the reason, I believe, of why Jesus told us to pray this. Matthew chapter 9. We'll get a sneak peek of the reason as well of why we ought to pray this. We'll start in verse 5, add 30, verse 35. It says this, Matthew 9, 35 and following. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Pause right there. That sounds like harmony. That sounds like the best place possible. Some of you would call that Florida. Okay. Verse 36, here it is. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. There it is. Now the next thing that he says is, you guys pray that, let's just read it. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Florida is God's harvest. Let's be more specific. Brevard County is God's harvest. Let's be more specific. Your front yard, your backyard, your community, your place, your island, my island. It's God's harvest. It's the Lord's harvest. We are called to pray that God will send workers to those harvest fields. Why? Because he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When we give our lives to Jesus, and it's really, if you could say it another way, we trade our view of how the world ought to be run by his view. We take off our glasses and we put on his glasses. And how does Jesus look at the crowds? He looks at them with compassion. He doesn't say, go back to where you came from. He looks at them and goes, oh my goodness, look at all these sinners. But he says it in the way of, they're helpless. They're harassed, and they don't even know they're harassed. Evil is just ever, they don't even know it. They're helpless because they're like sheep without a shepherd. That's what kind of church we want to be. We want to be able to be a church that can see the times, and we can look, and we can see the geographic set, and we can see how people are coming in droves. The new statistics, somebody came up to me after first service, and they said, it's about 700 to 900 people on the day are coming into the state. And those people are being harassed and are helpless, and they don't even know it. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And guess who knows who the shepherd is? Whoever you are who claim to be a saved sinner. Well, if that's the case, then we're going to need help with that. We're going to have to ask God to help us deal with our selfishness of no more, no more. I want my little spot, okay? Little stuff like that. We need to constantly be praying, God, cleanse me of my selfishness. Help me to have eyes of eternity, not the here and now of what I claim is mine. That's one thing. We also need to be praying that God will send help. Because there's people coming who are sinners, and there's people coming who are saved sinners. But we need God to be also sending people to help us with this charge. Because from what Seth told me, he told me this 4 years ago, Seth Bourne, have you heard of him? He was talking about how the demographic population of Brevard County has increased from this amount to this amount in the past, we'll say 20 years. And then he talked about how the local churches have grown from this amount to, and it's not going up with how many people are flooding the area. You know what that means? That doesn't mean that we should look at ourselves and be like, we're terrible, okay? We don't have to look at it like that. Some of us need to pick up our game, yeah. But we need to be praying to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers in the harvest fields, because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So we'll take 3 minutes together. The first minute, I'll open up in prayer. For the second minute, there'll just be silence. And that's the time for you to pray to the Lord of harvest, for you specifically as the individual. With the selfishness, also, Lord, maybe you want me to be one of those workers. Maybe it's the question of how right now do you want me to be that worker? Okay, that's your time. And then for the last minute, I will close. And then, per usual, but not like old hat, we have an opportunity to come to a table to remember King Jesus and how he died and rose for us sinners. Okay, would you pray with me? Our Father, Lord of the harvest, will you send workers to your harvest fields because they are so plentiful. Father God, you have placed each one of us here in this place, in this region. And building after building after building is going up. Lord, help us to see that not as a negative. Help us to see that as opportunity. So we pray that you change our hearts first. Work on each one of us to see that opportunity and to run after it. Lord, help us to see the people coming. Help us to see them as, well, some of them as helpless and harassed, even if they're unaware of the devil's schemes. Help us to realize that those who are coming that are wanting a fresh start, that we've got the place and we know the King. Help us to see, change us to see that we have all that we need. Our Father, Lord of the harvest, will you please send workers here into the harvest fields of Brevard County, because the harvest is plentiful. Lord, give us strength to continue to be your workers. And thank you for the opportunity to do the King's work. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Brevard Christian Church podcast. We pray you were encouraged and blessed. Want to connect with us? Go to brevardchristian.com and hit the contact us page. We'd love to follow up with you and help you take your next step as we get closer to Him. And until next time, grace and peace to you.